honor our Father God. A couple of quick announcements. You can read the bulletin yourself. One announcement is next Sunday we will be taking a special offering for Pastor Mike and his wife Martha Tift. They are from the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, just two blocks. I don't know if I'm pointing the right direction, up the road. Okay. And he, about 4 weeks ago, had pretty massive stroke and is recovering down in Duluth. He's been making progress. I've visited him several times, making progress, but a long road to go. And so we want to take a special offering for those folks. Some of you know from your own experience that there's a lot of unexpected expenses that come along with that, even if your health care plan is taking care of medical costs. Martha's got to have traveling money, gas money to go back and forth, and many other unexpected expenses. And then if you take a look at the coming events, we're assisting at Salvation Army, and then at the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month, we're going to be at Waterview Pines for service with the folks there at 2 o'clock. So if you'd turn in your hymnals with me to 846, which is Psalm 121. And let's read that responsively. 846. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come? He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Amen, amen. And if you'd stand with me and turn to hymn number 119, begin by praising our holy God and his Son, Jesus.
Thy sacred name to hallow, Prophets swell the glad refrain, and the blessed martyrs follow, and from morn to set of sun, through the church the song goes on. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, three we name Thee, though in essence only one, undivided God we and adoring bend the knee, while we own the mystery.
Our Father God, with your Son Jesus seated on the throne in heaven, we join all of the beings in heaven, all of your redeemed past, present, and future, all of your people all over the world today, to proclaim, Holy, holy, holy is our Lord God. Blessed is the name of Jesus. As we enter your presence and your time today, we adore and honor you because of that name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
First scripture reading this morning will be from Psalm chapter 91, verses 1 and 2, and 9 through 16, page 452 in your Pew Bible. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And then for our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and page 1785 in the Pew Bible. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, "It says, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
This morning we'll be taking our morning offering, and as I've mentioned before, we believe that God speaks to his people, even about offering. So whatever the Lord has laid on your heart, that is what we will honor, and it's because God honors a willing heart, and a heart that gives with gladness and joy. That's more important than how much. So I'll ask the ushers to come forward at this time. We are taking an offering also for Congo Kids, which is the little coconut thing that Julie will be passing. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we, your people, are honored to honor you. Receive our gifts. The gifts we give with joy and gladness, and use them for the furtherance of your kingdom on this earth. And we thank you that we can trust you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand together and sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. You may be seated. On Friday evening, we opened our church to a group which was basically unknown to us, Christian group, of course. And it turned out to be a group of Native Americans from all over northern Minnesota, representatives from all over northern Minnesota. So this morning I would like for us to honor them in our time of prayer and honor their request. One of their speakers, they had three speakers, basically lasted from they arrived at 4:30, but basically it lasted from 5 to 9, 4-hour service, pretty cool. One of their speakers was very direct about the need for Native Americans to leave their native religion and come to Jesus. Very pointed, much more pointed than I have felt comfortable being, but very direct. I'd like us to pray for our friends who are Native in northern Minnesota, that the Holy Spirit would fall upon them. That was her specific request. So would you pray with me? Father, we are so honored to be in the greatest kingdom of all time, your kingdom. So honored to be children of the Most High God. So honored to be friends of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, Son of Man, our friend, our brother, our King, our Lord. We are so honored to be a part of people who love you. We are so honored that you have sought and found us and redeemed us to an everlasting life and a life today that we can live with joy and peace in our hearts because of you. We will honor the request from Friday night and join our hearts in agreement that your Holy Spirit would fall upon our friends, Native Americans in northeastern Minnesota, the Iron Range, on the reservations all the way from Red Lake down to Duluth and up into our area that they were praying for. Knowing from the perspective that they have gained in coming to know Jesus, that our friends need to be delivered from their beliefs and find the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for this group of people who are reaching out for that purpose, that you would empower them, give them opportunity, and bless their efforts, give them fruit in their efforts, fruit in their lives, and fruit for the kingdom of God in the redemption of souls. Our Father, we don't single them out individually because our prayer would also extend to all of northeastern Minnesota, that your Spirit would fall, that people would come to know Jesus, and that our area would be changed once again toward the Holy God. We know that your power, your work, your plan is way beyond what we can even imagine. And so we pray for that plan to be fulfilled. Thank you that we can trust you. For those of us who are here today, we ask that you'd be with us, guiding and directing us, giving us the energy that we need each day to honor you. And we will do that. We will honor you. We submit all of this to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, your Son, the Son in whom you are well pleased, and we are well pleased. The name of Jesus. Amen. Turn in your hymnals to number 12. Jeffrey said this is one of his favorite hymns.
Lord, when we praise you with glorious music, Lord, when we
hearts mean the things that we say. Lord, when we love you with all of our being, Lord, when in faith we believingly pray, then we are seeing, then we are sensing all that our destiny calls us to be. And in our hearts we're expecting the moment when in our presence your glory we'll see. Lord, when we praise you with glorious music, using our giftedness solely for you, when we return to you songs that exalt you, when they inspire all the things that we do. Life has a fullness, life has excitement, for we are learning the glory is yours. And in our hearts we are looking for heaven, where we shall give you unceasing applause. Lord, when we praise you with glorious music, Lord, when we give you the best that we bring, you as Creator enjoy our creating. You as our Father take joy when we sing. Here we're beginning, here we're rehearsing themes that in heaven we'll fully explore, praising you then with a perfect devotion, bowing before you to love and adore. The four T's: temptations, testing, trials, and tribulations. We read the temptation of Jesus from Luke 4 this morning, Brian did, and we talked about it a little bit last week. I'd like to continue that. When you think of temptations, what do you think of? Tempting stuff like desserts? That's a bad thing to say, because now you're thinking about lunch, right? When I think about temptations, the first thing that comes to my mind is, thou shalt not. The Ten Commandments. But for those of you who think about desserts, I got curious and I had to look up, do an internet search. What are the most favorite desserts? And so I did a search and chocolate cake came out top of the list, followed by cheesecake. I don't understand cheesecake at all. I've never tried it. I don't know what it is, but it looks weird, so I just avoid it. The third was chocolate chip cookies. Temptations. Probably not trials or tribulations. Maybe not testing, but temptations for sure. The word translated in Luke chapter 4, depending on the version you use, and that word appears all the way through the New Testament, and in various places you find it translated trials, temptations, testings, tribulations. Four different English words for one Greek word. And you know me, I got curious. I said, how can you do that? What is this word in the scriptures really mean? What are the temptations, the testings of Jesus? And of course, then, what are the temptations and testings for us? This should have some meaning, and it shouldn't be translated four different ways. And no, I'm not taking issue with our translators, because another factor in translation is the context in which the Greek word appears. What I'm taking issue with, and I've mentioned it before, is our English language is just so inadequate when it comes to translating Hebrew and Greek, especially Hebrew, which is a very complex language, and there are very few people who truly understand and can speak and translate Hebrew. Greek is more challenging than English as well. Our English language is a very business-like language, and so it doesn't have the fullness of the emotion that many of the European languages have. When I was in high school, I took French for 4 years, became fluent in French. French is a language that has emotion to it. Italian has emotion to it. Greek has emotion to it. Not just head, but heart, feeling, passion. And so trying to translate those languages into our English language is difficult. So what does that word that appears in Luke 4, depending on your translation, tempting, trials, testing, really mean? The Greek word is pirazo, which doesn't mean anything to most all of us because we don't know Greek. But the word really means examine, an examination. In school, we called it a test or a midterm or a quiz. That's what the word really means, which is a challenge for me, because that means something completely different to me from temptation. Temptation to me means enticing, baiting, or setting a trap to get me caught. That's what temptation means to me. And for sure, that is what temptation does mean, because there is another Greek word which actually means that. Baiting, setting a trap. And we know that Satan is good at that. And we talked a little bit about that last Sunday. We have three enemies. We actually have four, but we talked about the three that we run into frequently, and that is the devil, who is setting traps for us all the time, our flesh, our own desires and will and feelings and emotions, which are setting traps for us all the time, and of course the world, which is setting traps for us all the time. Shirley was talking about the concert this morning. We were chatting a little bit, and there was a comedian at the concert, and she was talking about how this comedian was a clean comedian. But if you go on comedy nowadays, it is just full of traps. Why do they have to use that language? Why do they have to talk about things like that? Traps that are pulling people in. The world is full of traps. And Shirley mentioned that the comedian says one of the things that he doesn't do is talk about politics. Politics is full of traps, pulling us in, pulling our emotions in, pulling our mind in, and so forth. And of course, the fourth of our enemies, which we don't talk about a lot because we only encounter it once or maybe a few times, and that is the final enemy that God is going to throw into the lake of fire, our enemy, death. So we've got all of these temptations around us. Our flesh is temptation within us, but none of that is test or quiz. They are different. And so what we're looking at here in Luke chapter 4 is Satan is coming to Jesus to give him three quizzes. And I'm going to use the word quiz because if I use the word test, we often think of temptation. Quiz is clearer, I think. A quiz is just a question. And the question is requesting an answer. And so Satan gives Jesus three quizzes. And of course, we know Jesus passes with flying colors. But in those quizzes, for us, also comes the temptation. A separate thing, but it often accompanies the quizzes. And we know that for Jesus, he just blew right past those. I do enjoy reading the red letters in the New Testament. Because here we have Jesus encountering these three quizzes. And if you read it carefully, you find out that Satan asks him a question. And Jesus' response to that basically is, I don't care what your question is. I don't care about you. I don't care about your purpose. I don't care about your intent. I don't care. The only thing I care about is my Father in heaven. And what is my Father in heaven telling me to do? You find that in those curious responses for us, I think, when Jesus encounters the Pharisees. The Pharisees ask him a question, and Jesus answers, and we look at those two and have a difficulty understanding how that answer applies to the question. Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, the same thing. Nicodemus asks a question. Jesus gives an answer that doesn't connect with the question. Jesus is in a different world. What is my Father saying to me? What is my Father's rule for my life? This is important to me because I've encountered many people, many Christians, to be honest with you, who tell me, God sent me this illness. God has ruined my life. God has done this, God has done that. And I should have warned you at the very beginning, you might not agree with me when we talk about this, because it is pervasive in the Christian community that God does bad stuff. I am convinced that God is good. I am convinced of that, that God is good. I think, as we see in the temptations of Jesus that Jesus is convinced that his Father is good. Jesus has this ability to separate the world, the devil, control his own flesh, and only follow his Father. And of course, that's our goal, isn't it? Get to that place every single day when we face different things in life. I'm only following God. This is the challenging part. Do we assign sickness, disease, tragedy, death to God? And it's a challenge, I admit that. In the Christian community, I've had discussions with many people about that. So I'd like to read the scripture that probably comes to your mind in James chapter 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. That word tempt in the New International Version in James chapter 1 verse 13 is pirazo. So let me read it again, and I'm going to put in the word quiz. When quizzed, no one should say, God is quizzing me. For God cannot be quizzed by evil, nor does he quiz anyone. But each person is quizzed when they are dragged away. There's the temptation, different than the quiz. When they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. So there's two parts here. And I'd like to illustrate those two parts by reading our passage from Luke in Matthew, and then contrast it with Luke. Try to help you see the difference. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's in English. In English, we would say subject, verb, right? Direct or indirect object. They follow each other. So, in Matthew, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. In English, we would say the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. The Spirit led him to be tempted. That's not right. And I'll show you it's not right. In Luke, let's read it again, what Brian read for us. Much clearer in our English translations. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Pause. There's our subject, verb, direct or indirect object. Where for 40 days he was tempted. Disconnecting. It wasn't the Spirit of God or God that was tempting Jesus. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. Now here it becomes very clear. The devil was testing Jesus. Now this takes a little bit different turn when we think about ourselves and the things that we go through. And I hope that this is clear, to separate those two things. So when I get a quiz, and I think for most of us, they are quizzes. They're not the final exam. They're not the end of semester test or anything like that. Because we get quizzes every single day, right? Probably many times during the day. We get these quizzes. A question. What are you going to do? What's your answer? A quiz. Lunchtime. How much are you going to eat? What do I want to eat? What don't I want to eat? Quizzes every single day, all the time. In the morning, I like to start up my car. I'll let it run for a little bit. I was taught, and I don't know if it's right or not, but I was taught back when I was a mechanic that you should let your car run for a little while. You shouldn't have started up and go because the fluids need to circulate in the vehicle to help the vehicle last longer. I think cars are much different today than when I learned that back in the 60s, because they've improved the oil circulation in cars so much better today, which is why our engines last for 200, 300, 400,000 miles. Back in the day when I learned that, if a car got to 80,000 miles, it was called a clunker, because you didn't know if it was going to make it the next month or not. So back when I was learning that, when I had been taught that, now I have a choice. And like I say, I like to do that. But it's still a choice. I don't have to do it. It's still a choice. I do it for a reason. When we face questions all day long, and we do, we face questions, how to react to each other, how should I respond to each other. It's a quiz. That's all it is. It's a quiz. Just a quiz. And how we answer then is, do I fall to the temptation, like in Shirley's example, like most comedians nowadays, do I fall to the temptation of using bad words? Or this comedian, and I'll paraphrase what he said, something like, I just don't do that. I'm a clean comedian. And when we're talking about, you know, when it comes to comedy, you don't need to use those bad words. If it's comedy, it works. You don't need to include all that stuff. Temptation. Choice. In the midst of the quiz. So I get quizzes all the time. I know you do as well. And every time I get a quiz, I have a choice of how to react. I saw this morning when I was watching, I try to catch Christian television every morning, something, and it's different on the weekends than it is during the weekdays. So this morning I was watching a Christian television show, and during the advertisement period, there was a short advertisement from a new organization that I had not been aware of before, and all it said was love, and that's what stayed on the screen until that particular commercial was over. It's a Christian organization, and their mission is to just say short statements that embed themselves into the minds of people. And I thought, that's really cool. That's like those billboards that are trying to just say those one things. Get it, get it, get it. This is so important. And I thought, love. Now that can help me in the midst of any quiz that comes my way, right? That is a good answer. No matter what the quiz is, I can choose love. I can choose joy. I can choose peace. I don't always. I like to watch Dr. David Jeremiah, probably my favorite. And he frequently admits, I am not perfect. I'm just like everybody else. I face these quizzes all day long, all year long, and sometimes I don't pass. By the way, I should mention, there are only two grades when it comes to these quizzes. And I hope this helps you, because all my life, from my growing up years, I haven't talked a lot about that, but the effects of those growing up years, I have always graded myself as a Christian. A minus, B plus, B, B minus, oh yeah, C. Been there, done that. D, yep, and I got a D minus, yep. When I was studying this, there are only two grades, pass or fail. And I used to get really irritated in school when they changed from a grading system, A, B, C, D, F, to pass, fail. I thought, boy, that's not good just to let students pass or fail. They should know how well they are doing. That's not how God looks at it. He's not interested in whether you're doing an A or a B or a C or a D. D I'm very familiar with, by the way. He's only interested in the two choices. Pick this choice, pick that choice. Pass or fail. That's easy for me. Much easier than trying to figure out how do I improve from a C to a B minus. Just choose. Here's the quiz. Just choose. Much easier. A couple of tips. The quizzes come in small doses because you and I can't handle the final exam. None of us would pass. And so the final exam was given to Jesus. And he passed it for us. All that's left for us are these little quizzes. Just these little quizzes. A tip from David. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I remember the first time I heard a sermon on that particular scripture passage in Psalm 23, one of our favorite psalms. The sermon that I heard more or less was, God is carrying a big stick, rod, and he's also carrying another big stick, one in each hand, a rod, and a staff. And look out, because if you get off track, he is going to whip you. And that was combined with my father. One of my father's favorites was from the Old Testament, that a beating with a rod isn't going to kill you. And that is a scripture in the Old Testament, by the way. However, with God, the rod and the staff are referring to herding sheep. And you don't beat your sheep. You use your rod and your staff to get them to go the direction you want to go. Find food. Find water. Got astray? Lead them back. Rod and staff are for leading, not beating the sheep anyway. And we are sheep, right? And so very often, I thank Jesus and tell him, your rod and your staff comfort me, because I know that you are in the business of getting me across the finish line. You're not in the business of beating me up on the way. Now, I admit this might be challenging for you. Like I said, it's challenging for most Christians that I talk to, and I don't quite understand why everybody thinks God's a meanie up there looking to clobber us. This week, John gave me a letter that he had received from a Christian sister. And so in closing, I'd like to read two paragraphs from that letter. This Christian lady was recently diagnosed with cancer. Nurses, pay attention because I may not get this right. Called cholangiocarcinoma. Don't know what it is, but that's the name of it. This is part of her response. When all this was coming to light, God gave me Proverbs 18:14. The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? And when he gave that verse to me, he said, "Your attitude is going to determine how well this goes." He didn't promise it would be cured, or even how it would turn out. He just said, "I am trusting you with this assignment, and I want you to use it to glorify me." So with those marching orders, I wanted to send out this letter to friends and loved ones, pointing them to Jesus, who is Lord of all and my Lord. It will be a long road, I know, but may I reflect his grace and faithfulness as I walk with him through this. I am thankful he chose me worthy of this assignment, no matter how it turns out. If you read that paragraph with the mindset that God gave her cholangiocarcinoma, you would translate it, that's the assignment. That's not what Mary is saying in her letter. What she is saying is she got the cancer. The assignment, the choice, pass, fail, the choice is no matter what happens to me, I will follow Jesus. That is her choice. That's the assignment. Yes, she's going through chemotherapy. And I know that there are some who say if you get sick or if you have a problem, something like that, don't go to doctors. Just trust the Lord. My opinion is go to doctors and trust the Lord. Pretty simple, straightforward. Mary also includes another paragraph that I'll close with. This season, I want to encourage you with the same hope and assurance that fills my heart. Becoming a child of God is the most beautiful and life-changing decision anyone can make. It's as simple as recognizing that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins in full and accepting his free gift of grace and love. Through his life, death, and resurrection, we are welcomed into God's family, fully accepted and deeply cherished. The God that I believe in is good. All good. Patient. All patient. Kind. Loving. despite what Mike does. That's the beauty of it. That's what makes our God, God. On Friday night, one of the speakers was being very direct with the group, which was this mission basically is a ministry to Native Americans in northern Minnesota. And she was very direct. And she was saying, compare the God that you have been brought up with to this God, Jesus, whom I know. Just compare the two. Compare the love and compassion of Jesus, who will accept anyone who comes to him with love and grace. And he will fill your heart with love and grace. And your life will be changed. Compare that with whatever God you have been brought up with or think you believe in. And then make your choice. Pray with me. We are just so honored, privileged, grateful. Holy Lord God of all the universe and beyond, that you would take the time to think about us. That you would send your Son to die for us. You are a God of compassion and love that is beyond our imagination. Who are we? Just people compared to you, and yet, in your love and compassion, you decided you would like us to be in your family with you forever. Incredible. You are the most incredible, amazing God ever. And so we pause to honor you, our holy God, our Father, and seated at your right hand, our precious Lord Jesus Christ. We honor you and choose to honor you forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your hymnals to number 407, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And why don't we stand? Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, you have bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray.
Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear, O hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to Thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to Thee. Early let us seek Thy favor, early let us do Thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with Thy love our beings fill. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast loved us, love us still.
And let's bless one another in the name of Jesus. I mentioned on Friday night to the group that was gathering, God has blessed us. He's planted blessing within us. We can give that blessing away to each other. Actually give that blessing away to each other.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you, give you, give you.